Thank you, Hannah. You know, it's amazing how God works in these things. We have a lot of verses today. And Hannah and I both chose to focus on those two verses. That's great. That's great, because we need to just get it in our heads what this thing is saying. The Old Testament lesson is Psalm 37, 1 through 11, and 39 and 40. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, and he is their refuge in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the sixth chapter, reading verses 27 to 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O come, Holy Spirit. These are hard verses, and it's hard to serve you as you want us to. Give us insight. Give us the power to do those things you're asking of us. Open our eyes to your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. The lectionary is a funny thing, how it combines things. And right now we're in the sixth chapter of Luke. Tanner had the first part of this. These are tough. And I was texting him last week, man, you got a tough one this week. I'm glad I wasn't preaching. Did a great job on it. But they also match these things. And so this Psalm 37 is the lectionary reading for today, as well as Luke 6. And part of the preacher's task is to connect those. And I want to encourage you to really pay attention today, because I really believe this will help us all Because we have those things. You know, you see, love your enemies in here. But how do we do that? I mean, it's not just like annoying people. It's people who have hurt you, people who have injured you. When you loan money to someone, don't expect it back. That's hard to do. And you know, we all have our occasions. I've mentioned this before. I have a friend who's a lesbian Christian woman, and she knew she was gay when she was 7 years old, and she was in a Presbyterian church. And this was when Presbyterian churches excluded gay clergy, gay marriage. And so she kind of played like she was just like everybody else, but she heard all this, you know, stuff that excluded people like her from the church. It really hurt her. And now that Presbyterian Church is including gay folks and gay clergy and gay marriage and all of that, it's very hard for her to just forget all that and go back. It's very hard for her to feel okay about getting back into the church. And I get that. I'm going to tell a story at the end about a guy that I loaned money to that did not pay it back. And it was really hard to get over that for me for some reason. It was very difficult. And you've got stuff too. It's not, like I said, it's not just people that irk you. It's people who have hurt you, people that have pushed you away or in some way injured you. It's hard to forgive them. Today, this weekend is the 80th anniversary of the incarceration of American citizens of Japanese descent, who during World War II were put into internment camps simply because of their heritage, simply because they had Japanese forebears, and Germans too. And actually, the Assembly Inn in Montreat was one of those internment places. There's all stories about them being in there and the hotel making money on that. And the Montreat College kids came over at Christmas and started singing Christmas carols, and they all came out and started singing Christmas carols together. It was really a great story. But the United States did that, and it's hard for those people. You know, they just got ripped out of their jobs. They got ripped out of their businesses. It's hard to get over that. So we all have those things. We all have those things. I'm just giving you a few examples just to get your head kind of going about what, but make it yours. Make it your particular thing. And so I want to get to that by starting with Psalm 37. And the way I'm going to start is I have people from my previous churches in Georgia who say, well, what's it like being back in your hometown, being the preacher in a church in your hometown? How is that? And I said, well, you know, there's good news and bad news. The good news is that, you know, I'm back in my hometown, and I'm preaching to a lot of people who have known me my whole life, people I went to high school with. I'm on the local radio station, Hometown Radio, WLNC. So a lot of people that know me from high school and before hear it. And the bad news is that I'm preaching in my hometown, and I'm preaching to a lot of people who've known me growing up. And I'm on the radio to people who are in high school with me, and they know all this stuff. And so it's very hard to do an illustration about people specifically from where you grew up, but I'm going to do one right now. And I realized I just have to change the name totally of this person. And I know immediately who out there is going to be going, I bet I can figure it out, but don't. Okay, so when I was 16 years old, I had a huge crush on this girl. We will call her Tabitha Jones. And if you are out there and you're Tabitha Jones or you know a Tabitha Jones, it's not you. I mean, she was so pretty. I remember the first time I saw her, it was at a sunrise service for Easter. And I just thought, oh, wow, the most beautiful girl. And then I was, you know, in marching band playing the glockenspiel, you know, the bells. And she was one of the majorettes in front of that little mini kilt walking in front of me. And she looked really good. And I just got totally infatuated with her. And I felt, I got to ask this girl out. And I was so scared to do it. So I made contact with her at school and said, I'm going to call you. And so then when I called her, I was terrified. And I made, actually, this is so stupid. I made a 3x5 card of subjects I could talk about that were related to each other, kind of like they had a flow. I didn't know it would help me in my sermon later, but it had a flow to it. And I almost had to do that. I was like a disc jockey on the phone. I just talked, you know, and she would laugh here and uh-huh there. And so I finally did. I took her out a couple of times, and she didn't talk much then either. And I was trying to figure out how I could make her love me. And somewhere, I think the year before, I'd gone to a Billy Graham conference, and at the end, they had passed out these little cards. Each one had a Bible verse, God's promises. And the Bible verse that I hit on this one day was this verse from Psalm 37, 4 and 5. It was in King James. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And when I heard that word, desires of your heart, I knew exactly that was Tabitha Jones. And then the next verse was, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And I knew what it was. So every day I would say, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm committing myself to you. And you know, Tabitha, okay, we got this thing going, this deal. And I would even tap the card with my hand on the way out of my room. Just tap it. You know, just kind of like, okay, we're doing this today, right, God? Me and you, Tabitha. And then about a month into doing that, she went out with this older guy and fell in love with him and never dated anyone else again. Wah. And I think she married him, actually. And I was crushed. But more than crushed, I had this theological problem that I had trusted in God, and I had delighted. Hannah did such a good job talking about what it means to delight yourself in God. I had delighted myself in God. I committed my way to God, and he did not bring it to pass, and he did not give me the desire of my heart, Tabitha Jones. So what was I to do with that? Now, I'm going to come back to that. I think you had a little bit of a hint of where it's going to go with the children's sermon. But it does have to do with these dreaded verses from Luke 6. And why do I call them dreaded verses? For one thing, they're all imperatives. Love your enemies. That's an imperative. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. That's really, really hard to do, and it's sort of a downer because we know we don't do that perfectly. And then the second part is they all seem to be really impossible. They see impossible, you know, just love your enemies. Who does that? Love your enemies. They all have this like kind of out of reach quality to them. And then the third thing is that it can make you seem weak. Like, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. If anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. I mean, it makes you look like a wuss. Why would you do that? And so these are hard verses for us because we have a code of conduct. And you hear it all the time. You hear it in the line at Walmart. You hear it all over the place. You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. When my girls were in middle school, they used to have, or maybe elementary school, they used to do jump rope. I don't know if people still do that, but they had they had little songs they sing when they do it. Do y'all do that? Y'all sing, say stuff? And so one of them was, and I just overheard this one day. It went, peanut butter, Reese's cup, mess with me, I'll bust you up. And that is the philosophy. You mess with me, I'm going to bust you up. And I'm thinking, what is jump rope teaching my sweet little girls? But Jesus wants us to be different. Jesus wants us to change the world. And as long as we do that, I'll be nice to you if you be nice to me, nothing's going to change. And his whole thing was, I'm going to plant these seeds for these people to be different, to react differently. Verse 32 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. I'm sure The most wicked people in the world have children they love. Really. You know, I don't know if Adolf Hitler had kids, but, you know, he probably loved them. If you love those who love you, even sinners do that. Verse 35, love your enemies. Do good and lend. And then this is the key to the whole thing, and this is the reason I realized, okay, I can preach on this. Because if it's just a bunch of imperatives, it's hard to preach on it. But it says, be merciful as God is merciful. And the word also, if you go back to the Greek, it can also be translated compassionate. And that, you know what that means? Is that God loves God's enemies, loves them. God loves the wicked. It says that. God loves these people. And do good to those who abuse you. Because it says, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. And that is what we're asked to do, is to be like God is. And you think about it, you can see that Jesus did that too. That Jesus, when He was being nailed on the cross, what was His prayer for those Romans soldiers who were worshiping pagan gods and the emperor? What did Jesus pray? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was Jesus, as they were nailing nails in His hands. He exemplified that. If we act like everyone else, be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. We act like that, the world will never change. Nothing will change. It's got to be different. So how do we change? Let's go back to my situation with Tabitha. God bless her. And it goes back to exactly what Hannah was saying in the children's sermon. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. What it means is that if you delight in God, God will put God's desires in your heart, will put the right desires. God will give you the desires of your heart. You see the difference? He's not going to give you Tabitha Jones. God is going to give you desires that are God's desires so that you do love your enemy, so that you do pray for those who abuse you. And that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. He will give you that desire. So if you want to do better about the people who have hurt you, and you want to do better about your enemies, delight yourself in the Lord, and God will give you that desire to love them and to forgive them. And so who is that for you? For my friend who's a gay Christian, it would mean giving her the desire to forgive the church. That would be the desire of her heart that God would put in there. And for you as somebody else, you can come up with that. You know, there's a million different options here. But it's who has hurt you? Who do you have problems with right now just being around? It's not because they're annoying, but because you have that enmity, that distance, and you want to love them. You know, somebody used to say, there was a marriage counseling, and the guy goes, do you love your wife? And the guy goes, no. The counselor said, do you love your wife? And he says, no. He said, well, you know, the Bible says husbands love your wives. He said, well, I don't love her. And he said, would you consider her your neighbor? Because the Bible also says love your neighbor. Yourself. She said, no, she's not even my neighbor. And he said, well, then, is she your enemy? He went, yes. He said, okay, well, the Bible says you should love your enemies too. There's no getting around it. But that's how you just can't grit your teeth and do that. But Jesus says, be merciful like God the Father is merciful. Compassionate like God the Father is compassionate. To do, verses 35, love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return. For you will be children of the Most High. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. How do you do that? Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself. Read scripture. Pray. Come to Bible study. Sing in the choir. Delight yourself in the Lord. And that experience, that Holy Spirit will start to cleanse you. And the desires of your heart will change. Commit your way unto the Lord. And he will bring it to pass. So I promised, how are we doing on time? Oh, good, I got time. I promised a story about my friend. He's a longtime friend of the family, of our family and their family. We're very, very close. And he was a younger brother of the guys that I hung out with. And a few years ago, it's hard for me to tell how long ago this is. I've realized this year that if I think it happened this year, it happened last year. And if I think it happened last year, I think it probably happened 5 years ago. If I think it happened 5 years ago, it could have happened 10 years ago. So I don't know how long ago it was. Probably 10 years ago. And it was at a funeral of somebody that we both loved. And we were talking afterwards. And he said, hey, could you loan me some money? I just need a bridge to get to this new mortgage I've got. Could you just loan me $1,000? I said, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. He said, I'll pay it back in 2 weeks. I said, great. Okay, cool. So I, wrote him a check and got it. And 2 weeks go by and I don't hear from him. 3 weeks go by and I don't hear him. A month goes by and I don't. And finally, I get in touch with him and go, hey, did you get the mortgage? He said, no, it's still delayed. Could you send me another $1,000? I really, just to be able to do this. And I went, okay, all right, man. So sent him another. And then after that, it was radio silence, absolute radio silence. He didn't, changed his number, everything. And I got upset about that. Like, if he had asked me to give it to him, I would have given it to him. But he asked me to loan it to him. And then he just kind of cuts himself off from me. And you know what it was? It was not the money. It was like disrespect. He's just playing with me. He's like a kid picking on me. And I didn't like it. And so, we would have these kind of family get-togethers of the two families. And I'd find he was there and just, I don't want to go, But then one time, a couple years later, and I'd nursed this thing all this time, I was at this family, it was over in Laurel Hill at Kingfisher, and we're having this big get-together, and I'm the one that knows the gate codes, they're security gates, and I'm the one that knew the gate codes, and he called one of my sisters and said, I'm at the gate, but I can't get in, and they were busy doing something. They said, Jim, would you let him in? Oh, no. But I'm the only one that has a gate code. So I said, yeah. And so on that drive, we were up at the pavilion, so it took about 5-10 minutes to get to the gate. I had this prayer meeting with God, going, God, I didn't even want to see this guy. And now you got me down here. What do I do? And all these verses came back to me, I mean, they all came back. And I was like, I got to love him. Even though I'm still real hurt about this, I'm still mad about it. And I thought, you need to just love him. You need to just make up your mind and just love him. And so I got to that gate, and there he was in his car. And so I opened the gate, and I went out his window, and he rolled down the window and looked at me. And I said, man, it is good to see you. And also I could tell something changed in him. And I said, I'm glad you're here. And then we drove up and we had a nice time. Now, I'm not saying this because you think Jim's the greatest. I'm just saying I really struggle with it. But part of that decision to love your, if you want to call him enemy, is to make the decision to love your enemy. It's a decision. And it is, if God is working in you, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, God will give you that desire. And that night, I had that desire. I want to close with two quotes. And again, I don't know what your situation is like, but I think these will apply. And we'll put them up here. And you have them in your extras so you can take them home. I think there's actually, this is Frederick Buechner's definition of love. In the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of the will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he's not telling us to love them in the sense of responding to them with a cozy emotional feeling. You can as well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. On the contrary, he is telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being, even if it means sacrificing our own well-being to that end, even if it means sometimes just leaving them alone. Thus, in Jesus' terms, we can love our neighbors without necessarily liking them. In fact, liking them may stand in the way of loving them by making us overprotective sentimentalists instead of reasonably honest friends. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he didn't say, "There, there, everything's going to be all right." He said, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil?" And he said that to them because he loved them. This does not mean liking may not be part of loving, only that it doesn't have to be. Sometimes liking follows on the heels of loving. It is hard to work for somebody's well-being very long without coming in the end to rather like him too. And the last one is by C.S. Lewis, which I think is great. Do not waste time bothering whether you, quote, love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you're behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love them. Let's pray together. Lord, we all got those folks in our lives that we have a hard time. And we mean beyond the ones who are just merely irritating or annoying, people who have hurt us, who have disrespected us, who have done things that are sometimes unforgivable to us. And we have this sense that we wish we could love them, but it's hard. So first, Lord, help us to delight ourselves in you, commit ourselves to you. Give us the power to get into your word, to pray, and then give us the strength to do the right thing, to do what needs to be done, to act lovingly towards those people, to make that decision even if we don't feel it. Put your desires in our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.